Word to your moms. Welcome to episode, whatever number this is, of Infield Chatter, the AZ Steak Pit Podcast. We are recording Sunday night on Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day. Hence my weird, awkward intro to begin with. As always, Charlie Debo over here. Up in Scottsdale, we have Tim Jeffcoat. And up in Las Vegas, we have Devin Jessup. So really, we just have the three big geographical points of the Southwest just converging right now. And before I preempt Devin with his usual Tucson joke, let's get into topics of Diamondbacks-y stuff. This past week, the Diamondbacks won 2-1 in Colorado and split a 4-game series with the Padres. But let's start in Colorado. The subject I want to broach is, what the hell is wrong with your weather, Denver? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it too chill to have a supervillain living in Aspen with a weather control machine or something?
I don't know. Apparently, that's just not the hot market for weather controlling supervillains nowadays. I mean, really, if you were going to be a supervillain who could control the weather, why would you live in Colorado? There have got to be better places to be.
I feel like you could affect the most change locally there in Colorado, weather-wise. I mean, there's probably other places, too, like, I don't know. Well, I guess, even Arizona, just, you know, be a jerk and just bring mounds of snowfall to Phoenix every second you can. But, I don't know, it's also, you know, it's rents are reasonably priced, you know, like in Denver in the city, and it's a nice area, you know. Usually nice weather, just not this week. So why wouldn't a supervillain want to live in Colorado?
Well, okay, first off, rents are reasonable in Denver, maybe, but they're not in Aspen.
True enough.
I would not say that Denver has reasonable rents.
Oh, look who's going to bring facts to our conversation about supervillains' choices in living.
I feel like if we're going to take this subject seriously, then we should take it seriously.
But you have to think about the income of your average supervillain. That a city like Denver would be reasonable as opposed to, say, New York or Los Angeles or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's that famous Ed Glaser book that basically describes how the increase of income generally correlates with an increase of cost of living, so it generally evens out over time.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I mean, it might not be cheap for schlubs like us, but, you know.
I mean, if you've got a real, like, a really decent supervillain power, like controlling the weather, I feel like you can kind of write your own ticket. I mean, it's not like you're the guy who runs out there and, like, his supervillain powers, he knows what the last thing somebody ate was.
Well, a guy like that might be able to get a good deal on an apartment in, I don't know, some mid-market, like Salt Lake City or something, you know. That's also nice.
Well, but yeah, but that's only generally because you can then you can try to find a Mormon landlord who the last thing they've had would involve alcohol or caffeine and then threaten to blackmail them with that information.
I feel like that sort of supervillain would actually probably be more effective in L.A. and probably make bank because they could just guilt people into being like, hey, I know what you ate. That sucks.
Oh, yeah, you're vegan. That's right.
Uh-huh. Chicken. Real vegan.
Wink, wink. Actually, you know what? I'm not even sure you would need to I'm not even sure you would need a superpower for that. I'm pretty sure you could just, like, try and guilt people into it just by bluffing.
That's true.
Just go to anywhere in Los Angeles and say, hey, I'm starting a podcast about, oh, we're really going to open up here. And, you know, then just go from there. That seems to be the market for things out there.
Apparently.
Even better, though, is if you can somehow make a podcast, but describe it to potential investors as the Uber of podcasts.
So it's a podcast that will randomly cost more at inconvenient times and then stab you when you're done?
Right.
And obviously a podcast that they have not done anything to vet the people who are running the podcast. Wait a minute. I'm starting now to be concerned that this is the Uber of podcasts.
Crap. You're onto my scheme.
I thought we were more Lyft, but, you know. Anyway, so Denver, weird weather, so only 2 or 3 games against the Rockies were played. But There was a bit of an offensive explosion in, well, that first game and a little bit in that second game and that first game against the Padres. So is this a, do you guys think for the Diamondbacks this is like a weird fluke just coming against the right pitchers, or is it a quantifiable strength of the team going forward, or some third option that I haven't listed?
Well, I mean, honestly, an offensive explosion in Coors Field does not, I'm not even sure that 18 runs over two games counts as an offensive explosion in Coors Field.
Yeah.
It could just be an offensive slightly bubbling over at that point.
And it's obvious that the trend didn't continue if we just look at today's scoreline.
Well, I mean, we did, yeah, yeah. We at least had some better numbers against against the Padres. I mean we at least weren't getting shut out three games in a row, so that was nice.
Yeah, the Padres series, the elephant in the room there was basically the bullpen. But 11 runs, 5 runs, 4 runs in the first three games. That's not the worst.
No. Dinger is the worst.
Oh, Dinger.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
It's just science. I think it's a sign that, you know, maybe the offense is going to at least crawl out of its grave where it seemed to have been earlier, say last week. But I mean, it's not a huge portent of something to come. It's just a reminder that hey, okay, the offense isn't as terrible as we've been seeing recently. It's not great, but we're not looking like we should be playing in Double A. So it doesn't encourage me a lot, but it at least relaxes a little bit of stress, I guess.
Release, relax, potato, potato.
Meh.
But yeah, the excuse me. It is nice to see some offense, but again, it's still early enough in the season that any sort of random small bit of time, you can't really say it's a trend or not. Although you could try, and bless you if you do, but I'm not going to join you on that boat because it's got holes in it and there are sharks in the water. Robot sharks.
Do they have lasers on their heads?
They have plasma guns on their heads.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, they upgraded a bit.
I mean, think what kind of a supervillain you could be with those sharks.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have the sharks and you have to install a shark tank in your place, but you remove it when you're done, do you still get your deposit back?
You might get your pet deposit back, but you're not getting your security deposit, because I will just tell you, those sharks are, there's going to be some misfires with the plasma guns. You're going to see some structural damage to the apartment complex, the surrounding neighborhood, possibly the entire metropolitan area. It's really, I mean, it's, I don't think you should really rely on getting any deposit back.
And really, I guess if you're a supervillain, you should aim higher than getting your deposit back, money-making-wise, anyway.
That's true, yeah.
Anyway, to another topic that is on the docket that I actually wrote down. I actually wrote this down on a notepad file that I took in a stream of consciousness sort of way. It says, Trumbo in the two halls say, what? But
what?
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 What? Say what?
What?
No. No.
But,
you're not the boss of me.
But that's been a thing lately, and, you know, small sample size, it seems to have been okay, question mark, but it's not something you traditionally would have thought as a thing of that would happen, but what are your feelings on that whole experiment?
I mean, if it's working out, go for it. I mean, I feel like we need to show off whatever skills Mark Trumbo has. And, yeah, small sample size, but he is hitting quite a bit better. I mean, granted, over three games as opposed to the, 15 or something he was in, he was batting fourth, so. Sure, why not? That's my response.
Yeah, if you want to move him, you got to show him off.
Yeah.
It's indicative of some, you know, sort of out-of-the-box thinking by, you know, either Chip Hale or, you know, La Russa, Stewart, whoever, that, you know, yeah, maybe Mark Trumbo in the two-hole long-term isn't, like, a permanent solution, but it shows a willingness to try something as instead of just sticking to, ooh, leadoff hitter, that guy be a fast guy, second hole hitter, guy be a guy with them strike out,
I reckon.
Yeah. damn save him, attrition is coming. Gunner, get my shotgun!
It's actually great, because if you miss, then they try and still do a statistical analysis of the bird shot.
Shots above replacement.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, obviously what we were doing before wasn't working. So if they want to fit around and see what happens, then cool. I'm still very much on the extended spring training 2016 train here, so
choo-choo.
Whatever works.
And, you know, that train's got to keep going because it can't really go backwards because that's not how trains work. Steam trains, anyway, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they can. I mean, it's difficult. They can't go back fast.
At this point, you got to keep going forward because I'm pretty sure the Diamondbacks would get kicked out of the league if they just refuse to play any more games this season.
It would be an awkward talk with the commissioner's office, granted.
Yeah. A couple of the founding members of the National League got kicked out in their first year because they stopped wanting to travel west. You know, west meaning St. Louis.
So they sound like
people on the east side of the valley who are like, oh, a stadium in Glendale.
Ugh.
We have to go all the way over there and be on the freeway for 15 minutes.
And people on the west side are like, hey, Glendale's never going to stop growing. This housing bubble's never going to pop.
And then there's the people in Surprise who are like, hey, we've got a city here too, you know.
Surprise!
And people in, like, Avondale are like, so lonely. So lonely. what is the touch of another person like?
It's tragic.
Well, I mean, it would be a quicker shot for Avondale than Scottsdale.
Okay, okay.
They're both west side cities.
Anyway.
Really, the people that get screwed the most in that scenario are people from, like, Chandler or Gilbert.
But on the other hand, have you considered they live in Chandler and have already had made enough mistakes that it's this is just another one to pile on?
I've definitely considered it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I generally don't try and go much further south than University.
Yeah, pretty much.
So basically, like, Chandler's like that, then, like, I don't know. Casa Grande must be just, like, the beyond world. Like, oh, no, don't go there. There's Morlocks.
Well, Casa Grande has one advantage in that it has an outlet mall, but...
That is true.
What is the point in driving that far to go to an outlet mall when I can go north to the Anthem one?
Yeah, exactly.
And if I go to Casa Grande, then I'm almost to Tucson anyways. And why would I do that? So.
Yeah, that's already bad enough, so, I mean... You
yep.
thought you avoided the Tucson jokes this week, didn't you, Charlie?
I could edit this out.
But you already said you don't want to edit.
we're already going to be thin enough on content.
Yeah.
It's a professional organization.
Yeah, well, you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
It's what you get when you sign up for the Uber of podcasts.
Seeing how we're the only podcast that exists that's never to be sponsored by Audible.com, you know, I think that's a badge of honor.
I think that's true. Yeah.
But, you know, audiobooks, if that's your thing, go there.
Audiobooks are pretty great, but we don't get anything from Audible for this.
Yet. I should look into that, because they seem that they'll sponsor anyone. And I could use a little extra beer money for us.
Audible.com. You're already bored enough to listen to this podcast. Why not buy our audiobooks?
Might I suggest a reading of Anna Karenina by Stephen Wright? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like the dullest book / reader of book combination possible, like voice wise.
Let's see.
Here's Ben Stein to read Moby Dick.
Happy
families are all alike. Happy family is unhappy in its own way.
And now a chapter on whale physiology.
I think this is some of the best content we've produced.
Screw the Diamondbacks.
Well, we should probably, circle back around to them. If we must, you know. We could not. I could tell you about my weekend. But actually, first let's talk about the pitching staff a little bit. With the second game in Colorado, and the really burgeoning supervillain community of Denver, Robbie Ray, who, as you may recall, was acquired from the Tigers in the trade that sent Didi Gregorius to the Yankees, and he pitched pretty well, which is like, cool, first spot starter, it's good to know that. And what's more important is that he didn't walk anybody, though that was probably by virtue of the fact that clearly the umpire wanted to go home for a bit. But, you know, the Rockies pitcher walked a bunch of people, so they don't have that excuse.
Yeah.
But, so he pitched pretty well, so it's like, oh, you know, that's a good option. But, you know, with Bradley still out, it's good to have that spot starter. But when it comes to the elephant in the room, Jeremy Hellickson, more like Jeremy Heckickson. Ba-da-da-da-da. But seriously, he is clearly the weak link of the rotation. And it's a little frustrating that because he was the shiny acquisition in the offseason, that he's probably not going anywhere, even though he is, in terms of pace and quality-wise, Ben Stein, Rudy, Moby Dick of pitchers.
He is ostensibly terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on. We got a hot take here.
Go for it.
Henry. Oh, now you drink your milk.
Literally into the computer.
Hi, Charlie!
Yeah, he's been chanting into the computer, hi, Charlie, for about 5 minutes.
Kids love me.
Yeah, no, Jeremy Hellickson, I don't know, like, I didn't expect much from him. I hoped for better. I didn't expect he would be this bad. Also, in his official headshot, he looks like he's about 14. Just gonna throw that out there, even though I know he is older than that. But yeah, no, he's just, like, has he really even had, like, one start that we would look at as really great? One against San Francisco, which would be okay, it was a good start. 6 2/3, 1 run allowed.
I feel like we would take that virtually any time, so.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I feel like if I'm going to call something great, I want them to get into the seventh inning, or seven complete innings.
Mm-hmm. And here's a random fact about Jeremy Hellickson, apropos of nothing, that I remember hearing about, and I just Googled. The last book that Jeremy Hellickson read was freshman year of high school, and he read the Iliad.
You know what I think Jeremy Hellickson needs?
Yeah.
A subscription to Audible.com.
There you go. There you go.
And his review of the Iliad, it was pretty good, actually. I would have thought it would have got me into reading some others, but it's not happening. This is a real quote, and I'm going to tweet it to you guys right now, just so you know I'm not lying. But that's probably has no bearing on his quality or lack thereof as a pitcher. It's just a random thing I just remembered that I Googled.
Huh. Wow.
That is a little shocking.
Yeah.
On one hand, good for him that the last book that he read is something that's actually semi-challenging, or at least not more than just, oh, the last book I read was Catcher in the Rye. But then at the same time, you haven't really read anything since you were 14.
I mean, and let's just... I mean, so he read that in 2001, and it's then in 2013 that he says, it's just not... but it's not happening.
Yeah, like, he's been thinking about it for 12 years. He's like, should I read another one? So good. There were words, and they combined together, and it was like I was on like some sort of dream trip, but I didn't go anywhere. But on the other hand, maybe not.
See, whereas the way I'm envisioning this is he's got the same copy of the Iliad from his freshman year of high school sitting on his table, and every once in a while he walks by, he's like, why aren't you getting me into reading other books? Come on, Homer!
Which is funny because he probably stole that from his high school.
My other question is, how did he get through the next 3 years of high school without reading another book?
Probably easier than you think.
Yeah.
What school he went to or what track he was in, because if he wasn't in honors classes, that also probably is going to help, but it's pretty easy to fake.
And here's the thing. In the time it takes between pitches for Jeremy Hellickson to, you know, pitch, the joke writes itself.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was right there.
Yeah. He was drafted out of high school in Iowa, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away from Ohio, if you, you know, fancy a longish drive. So, you know, just say it.
A couple states.
Yeah.
Damn it, Ohio.
I've been to Iowa. It's bad.
Here's an alternate theory to Hellickson's book quote. He didn't actually read the Iliad, the last book that he read, but it may be a useful fiction that he said for so long that he's just accepted it as being the truth, because what is the likelihood that some random freshman who doesn't like to read is going to read that book?
Yeah.
Unless it was like a really, like not really the original verse, but was just basically like a summary version of it.
Yeah.
Possibly with excerpts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just seems really unlikely to me. Because if he was a freshman in 2001, that means I must be a year older than him.
His birthday is April of 87, so if we were in high school together, he and I would have graduated in the same class.
Okay, he would have been the year after me. My freshman year, we had to read... The Odyssey was one of the books, so similar to the ad. But we also had to read a few other books, and one of which was Ender's Game and a couple other books that are a lot easier to read than the Odyssey or the Iliad. So I would guess it would be much more likely that, A, he would have had to read something a little bit easier, even if it was just simply a Hemingway book, and that would have been the book he actually read. But for some reason, he's said Iliad for 12 years. Or 14 years.
Too long.
In my freshman year of high school, I had to read... They split up my English class into three groups, basically by our teacher's perceived level of intelligence of all the students. So I was in the, quote-unquote, smart group, and we had to read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. there was a middle group that had to read, I want to say it was something by Steinbeck, either Grapes of Wrath or Mice and Men, and then there was a lesser quote-unquote group that had to read The Giver. That's just, yeah.
In what year was this?
This was my freshman year of high school.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's a percentage drop out there.
Yeah.
My freshman year, I think for literature, we actually just attended live performances of Shakespeare because he was still writing then, of course.
Well, yeah, right.
And then we just generally tried to avoid getting the plague. Basically, that was pretty much it.
It's a good plan, generally.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out for me.
Anyway, let's move on to questions that were submitted in the Game Bay thread, because I don't see any on the Tweety right now, because, I don't know. Anyway, this comes from JoeCB1991, who asks, could any of our position players pitch better than the Rocky starters?
Probably.
For how long?
Let's just say, like, on a one-game basis. I don't know.
Say, like, 6 innings for a start?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I can't really think of... Because, yeah, I don't really trust the throwing arms of many of our players, to be quite honest.
It's not like we still have Para.
Yeah, that's who I would have thought of. And that sound you hear is DC pouring out one for his homie. who's not dead, but he's stuck in Milwaukee, so he may as well be.
He's with Craig Council now.
That's like he's in heaven.
He's, don't worry, Gerardo Parra is not with us anymore. He got sent to a team up north. He's with Craig Council now.
He's gone to a better place. He's with Craig Council.
No, he's in Milwaukee. He has not gone to a better place.
Well, it would sort of depend on your opinions of alcoholism and dairy products.
I'm all for dairy products, but no.
And you could combine the two and make a White Russian or something, so.
Yeah, or an alcoholic milkshake.
Yeah. An alcoholic milkshake from McDonald's.
Nope.
You saw that tweet I sent you after a recording.
I saw that tweet you sent me. Oh, I saw it.
If you don't know what we're talking about, look me up at Cleffo Ain't a Crime. It's a 4-year-old joke I'm not going to explain. And just look back to last week to show a picture for a picture of my response to Devin's milkshake snobbery.
My good taste in milkshakes.
So, you say potato, I say cauliflower.
Booze in a McDonald's shake would probably be pretty good though.
Yeah, it feels like that you could. It's the right consistency. It would mix in well.
Yeah.
It feels like actually having to admit alcoholism if you're taking like a flask to McDonald's and just pouring it into a shake.
Especially because this may not be true anymore, but I think within like the last 5 or 10 years, McDonald's did like an internal study and found most people when they order a milkshake for them, it's in the morning because it's something that's easy to eat while they're driving. So if you're on a long commute, you can kind of, you know, eat it without getting messy. It also takes forever for it to melt because they're so thick. If you're taking a flask to McDonald's in the morning, putting it in a milkshake, you got some juice.
I'm not going to judge morning drinking because I did that 2 days ago. but it was because, like, hey, old coworker friend, I haven't seen each other in a while. Oh, you want to meet for a beer? Oh, you can't meet tonight? Well, you got to take your daughter to daycare in the morning. Let's meet at this place that's open now and just have a beer. Don't judge me. It was my day off.
Well, I mean, the time of day Mm-hmm. Drinking doesn't generally matter, but in this specific scenario, it's just sad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, a bit of morning or day drinking, you know, when you're, like, if you're not working or whatever, you know, don't judge.
Like, I mean, I'll admit that, I mean, my personal, the scenario I'm envisioning this happening is at about, like, about 11:30 in the morning as you're watching your kids play in the McDonald's Playland thing.
That actually sounds highly appropriate.
It does not seem like an unlikely scenario at all.
No, I would not be shocked if there's parents putting a little nip in their Diet Cokes.
I'll have to ask the people who I know, Tim obviously as well, who are parents of small children, if they would be willing to do that sort of thing, or if they have.
I know that McDonald's has been looking at a way to increase, because they've had, you know, their revenue's been dropping because they're McDonald's, and they're not as popular anymore. But I think maybe what they need to consider is just like one of those carts that the airline attendants have. Just walk through the dining room every 15 minutes, half hour, sell a tiny little bottle of booze to somebody waiting for their kids.
And you know, it's perfect. You get like a Coke or something, and you get a little shot of like rum, and just, you know, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a market. McDonald's, call us. I'm going to complain about your milkshakes, but I won't complain about your money.
They still got that.
What if they pay you in milkshakes?
Well, then that seems like a terrible job. Like, I mean, even if I like their milkshakes.
They don't have resale values, so you know.
I can't pay rent in milkshakes.
This doesn't sound like you're trying hard enough.
I think you can once the revolution comes.
Yeah, because once the revolution comes, apparently my milkshakes, which are good, will have significant black market value from people who are forced to drink McDonald's milkshakes.
And we can make the next book Jeremy Hellickson reads is the manifesto declaring war in the shake revolution. See? How works that?
It was pretty good. I thought it would get me into milkshakes. And it did.
I set those guys that link. I'll link to it in the post of this podcast because, just so you guys aren't in the dark. But yeah, that's a thing.
How did we get here?
How did we get anywhere?
I can't even walk it back. I don't remember.
Let's go. Let's move on to another question. This is one you had, Tim, in the GDT, and since you posed it, you probably have thoughts on it. Is there any point to continuing to boo Upton? My short answer is no, but you probably have some thoughts on this since you posed the question.
Generally, I boil down to no.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like at some point you gotta let that one go. But yeah. The flip side of that is I don't need to constantly hear about former Diamondbacks and how well they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. You don't need to tell me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm never a fan of booing players in general. I feel like if you're going to boo Upton, do it in his first at-bat at Chase Field after he's traded, and then move the something or other on with your life. Because if you are this angry about a player years later, where are your priorities? Like, why is this something you're spending your energy on?
Besides, booing is more effective when it's your own players, because then you can make them feel bad about themselves.
And also, booing is more effective when you didn't just get beat by that guy the night before.
Right. You want to make sure that you're inflicting the most emotional damage by waiting until the player does something stupid. You know, they're already feeling down on themselves, they didn't mean to do it, or it's just a freak failure of athletic ability, something that the vast majority of people could never do. That's when you really just need to put the knife in and start twisting.
I think it's true. I mean, like when you're booing a player because they did something good against your team after their team, let's be honest, kind of didn't treat them great before they were traded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just
whoa, not all
bitter
Max fans.
meet me in the pit, Tim. We're gonna fight about this.
Oh, I'll see you in the pit.
No, I mean, yeah, like, it's just bitter, and it's childish.
Besides, you've got the excitement of Mark Trumbull to watch now.
Who is much more deserving of our disdain.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm with you there. It's just, and I kind of feel it weird to boo a guy who was traded rather than maybe I'm thinking hypothetical because I can't think of anyone this directly applies to for the Diamondback, but like a guy who's like, oh, I'll re-sign with your team, but then doesn't, or you know, that kind of scenario.
Yeah,
right. Because a free agent leaving has a little bit more agency in that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, unless someone's simply just demanding a trade, which we have never heard any story that says Upton was demanding a trade.
There were, like, rumors, but there was never anything, like, concrete.
And they were kind of talking crap about him the whole time.
Yeah. Which, we mentioned this, we've talked about this before anywhere, but it's kind of glad that there's a new guy in my front office, if only because the previous regime was way too, gossipy, like, very sort of twisted in the knife, teenage girl kind of stuff. Yeah,
they were mean girls.
I was going to say that they had no chill.
They had no chill.
They were the plastics.
They had to sort of justify everything, every move they made by so-and-so player was an asshole, and he liked to kick puppies, and he thought Hitler had some good ideas. He was talking about the Autobot, but I'm taking it out of context.
One time, KT punched me in the face. It was awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's all the questions I feel like answering this week. Let's move forward.
Let's make up questions.
Okay. Devin, you have a question you want to make up?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Put me on the spot when I'm the one who didn't come up with or second the idea.
Yep.
Let me see.
I got a question. It'll give you a chance to think about it. Henry has just come up to me with his showing me his shirt and saying, I'm wet. How did he get wet?
I'm going to guess possibly a drink mishap, like water or milk or something.
I was going to guess a incident trying to wash his hands.
He's been in the room for at least 30 minutes, and he hasn't been drinking anything for
5 minutes.
Well, this is a mystery, then.
So it's like a mind puzzle.
It is. It is. And his shirt is mildly damp, so it does raise the question, how did this happen?
Drool?
Drool, perhaps.
Yeah,
that's a lot of drool.
You know what? Maybe it was his sister.
That makes sense. It was it was a collaboration.
Yeah. Maybe she was giving him a little nibble. Then she's starting to get into the biting phase.
Yep. That's a phase.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Sure, my question. What Disney character do you most identify with?
Cricket.
Okay, Tim had to go to the other room, so I will take this question instead.
Excellent, because I feel like it's a much better fit for you anyway.
I think I identify, well, I want to say Belle, because I like to read a lot of books, but that's, I don't know, Tim's nothing like Beast. I also want to say Ariel, because that was my favorite kids movie. That's a really hard question. There's a lot of answers to that one. I will go with Anna. And Tim is just like...
I want to be like Ariel. I want to be part of that world.
Okay, let's phrase this question. Which Disney character is... The name of the hat. Which Disney character is Mark Trumbo most like?
Gaston?
Gaston would be my answer.
No one swings like Mark Trumbo. No, never mind. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's a workshop kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. We'll work on that.
Yeah, we'll get it in the next episode.
Yeah, we'll get it in the tech.
Let's close on looking ahead to next week.
Wait, you didn't have a question.
Oh, damn. Well,
thought you'd get away with it, didn't you?
Here's my question. Well, technically I said which Disney character is Mark Trumbo like, but that
was... Oh, I'm sorry. It was supposed to be come up with your own question, not answer Devin's and claim it as your own as you rephrase it slightly. Also, for myself, Disney character, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Question.
You had time.
Which Diamondbacks player from history, which you, just for the satisfaction, because they made you so angry, which Diamondbacks character would you most like to have dunked on hard?
Which Diamondbacks character?
I have the NBA game on mute right now, so that's what that question came from.
Oh, no, I was referencing you. I was more making a mention of you referencing them as characters rather than players.
Yeah.
Russ Ortiz.
And it would have been satisfying, too,
because he
would have hit the ground nice.
Yeah, you're gonna go up and slam, and he's just going to hit the ground hard.
I'm going to say Richie Sexson for... wasting an entire season of our lives, and he's tall, so it will look more impressive.
Yeah, you're gonna get like the like slow motion dunk on him, mm-hmm. Hand in his face.
Yeah,
you know who would be really satisfying to dunk on?
Who?
John Roush.
Oh yeah, for kind of say yeah. Oh yeah, because he was 6'10", right?
Yeah, he was huge and also awful,
and weird looking.
Man, I just looked him up to see how tall he was. He's 6'11", and I will tell you, that headshot of him looks... I think I know now who has stolen the demonic pact that Cody Ross had, because that's...
Hey, I'll say...
terrifying. Yeah.
Cody Ross was actually, I think, released by the A's maybe this past week. I'm going to see if that's... matches up with my memory. The A's have released Cody Ross May 5th.
Too bad.
I bet
Cinco de Mayo, Cody Ross.
Cinco. Let's. Anyway, let's now, if you'll allow me, Your Majesty, to
proceed.
Oh, thank you. You are so kind. To end, let's just look a little ahead next week. We're seeing teams that are not the Padres or the Rockies, so we might be able to get some interesting talk out.
Next week we get to see the Marlins and the Cubs.
Well, okay.
No, next week we got the Nationals and the Phillies, right?
That's this week.
Oh.
This upcoming week, you pedantic son of a...
I pulled up the schedule solely to make that joke.
Oh, I hate you so much.
Now imagine what Liz has to put up with on a daily basis.
All the time.
Liz, you're a wonderful person for having to do that. But anyway, so 3 games against the Nationals, an off day, and then 3 games in Philadelphia against the Phillies. The Nationals have kind of struggled to start the season despite, you know, making big flashy signings and whatnot. We will get to see Max Scherzer for the first time since he was traded.
Yay!
During this series, so that's fun.
Scherzer's been pitching pretty well. I mean, he's He doesn't have a great win-loss record, but that's
really
losers.
The first time they've played against him? Because I could have sworn...
Or it might be the first time he's returned to Chase Field. I think that's accurate. Because, okay. Yeah, we played the Tigers a few times.
Right.
Yeah. I saw someone tweet that who might have been like...
Then it must have been accurate.
Yeah. Well, it was someone who I felt... Like, it was one of the beat writers who I felt was not beyond reproach, but trustworthy in that sense. So...
Rick Riley.
No, he would have just written, like, the same column 10 years later about Matt Scherzer. Anyway.
He's just warming up the one about heterochromia.
It's a good one. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, we did face him once before. But yeah.
I think probably in Chase is more accurate. But anyway, we can see him again. And the Phillies are not a good baseball team, as I think anyone with a pulse sort of predicted. Chase Utley looked at Ryan Howard and said, "Wow, I want to be like him," and stopped hitting. And they just have a old roster that's not good and hurting.
They never really seem to try and consider the fact that players get older.
It's shocking, I know, but...
Yeah. Time is linear, I guess. It progresses forward.
Or does
it? I don't know who came up with that. It wasn't me. But yeah, no, they're 30th in the league in runs and on-base percentage. And, yeah, they're just pretty unimpressive. So, hopefully we can
win at least one.
hopefully we don't come back from, we don't come back next week and be like, well, Phillies whooped us.
I had no idea Ben Revere could hit 4 home runs in a game, but damn. The joke is because he's a light contact hitter and doesn't hit home runs. Anyway. But yeah, it'll be, like I said, interesting to see teams that, you know, you don't get to see very often, and including the week after that, and the week after that too. There's a stretch of non-divisional games, so that's fun, I guess, if that's the right word. It might not be.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll just be nice to see other things.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, though, I'm not looking forward to the 21st. Mm-hmm. Because that game is 9 in the morning.
Wow.
I mean,
it will be
advantageous in that I can just simply listen to it at work. Uh-huh. It won't be very helpful, though, in that my recap will be up super late.
Yeah.
It'll be, and it's one of the few times that your Thursday recap schedule actually backfires on you.
Yeah.
Because normally it's like... You cover about half as many games as everybody else.
Yeah. No, Thursday is definitely the sweet spot, except for that one rant. And it always seems to be the Marlins. Goddamn Marlins.
Oh, we're the Marlins. We've never lost a playoff series. Our owner's a crazy person who likes to collect art. Wham, wham, wham.
That's not an impression. That's actually the exact words of...
Yeah. Some guy just burst into my apartment, said that, and he just left.
That was weird.
That was really weird.
You live in a weird apartment complex.
I do, and I have you to thank.
That actually probably would not be the weirdest thing that has happened to you there.
This is the point where I have an outro synced over a random piece of music that I have on my computer. You probably don't listen to this anyway, but if you do, I don't know, say so? Or do something. Anyway, here's a stinger, which is usually some bit before we start the official recording of someone saying something funny. Okay, bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry.
You said 5 minutes, but that was clearly 7.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. We demand I take it back. I'm only sorry for the extra 2.5 minutes, not the half hour.